to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ah, welcome in.
You know what time it is. It's playoff time.
Woo!
For 50% or less.
Oh, you were saying how many are in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't know if you needed that.
I think Mike was just speaking of the all the people out there.
Yeah.
I just feel like you could have gone, for some of you. You want to redo it?
No, because I'm a more statistical person.
And we're also kind of
You're using these hodgy-podgy words like some.
This is a one-take show.
Yeah.
I just like that Jason threw in like a Justin Bieber, like,
yeah,
he just threw that in. Mike is right. Mike Wright is right.
Oh,
it's playoff time.
Playing Mike White.
How afraid? How excited? What are the emotions for tonight, Mike? You and I both have a little Christian McCaffrey playoff action going this evening.
Pretty excited. Pretty excited due to the everything being optimal tonight for Christian McCaffrey. But also terrified in that it's Thursday night, and should touchdown variance bounce outside of our precious Christian McCaffrey, it will be a tilt fest all the way to Saturday and Sunday.
Now you are playing against Brock Purdy. Is this?
I think that's the way it's lined up for me right now, because the team I'm playing, they lost Kyler Murray, and our QB waivers are mighty thin.
Yeah, wow. And if and George Kittle, right? So yeah. if you get on the goal line,
oh man,
the chance of a George Kittle touchdown, which would be a double stack against you, versus the Christian McCaffrey rushing touchdown, which would be devastating for the. I mean,
thank you for pointing that out.
Have you
spicy tonight, fellas?
As I say, have you warned your wife and children of the risks?
I booked them
associated.
I got them a hotel. I sent them out of the house. I said, "I'm doing some reno in the house, so I need everybody out."
There will be a couple walls that come down.
If you come back and things are smashed into pieces.
That's the contract.
Yep.
You booked them a hotel.
Nice staycation.
Funny. Oh, man. You guys get out of here.
I was like,
Daddy needs to be alone.
Yeah, here's his spa day. I booked in hotel nanny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Daddy wants to be alone with his bottle of whiskey and Christian McCaffrey.
Just in the dark.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, it's no lights on at
just,
all.
Just the glow of the television.
Yes. I love it.
It's playoff time.
That's playoff time indeed.
But guys, this game is really fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Makes me so happy.
Let's do it every year.
Freaking fantasy football.
Oh, man. It's never going to change either.
No.
There's no tweaks you can make that that will make the playoffs any less scary. But, I mean, it goes beyond Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers side. You've got the Ken Walker issue.
Oh, man.
I don't think I've seen more questions about a certain player than the Ken Walker start. And this is Thursday night, so you get your information, right? You've got your matchup, and then you find out if you are a favorite after tonight or an underdog. So much to talk about. We don't have bye weeks anymore, right? I mean, that's finally over with.
No, it's go time.
Yeah, big week. Big show, Never Not Working, News and Notes, the Fantasy Forecast, the Starts of the Week, the Boom Boom Kicker. It's all coming to a head. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to everybody that joined us on Spotify Live yesterday afternoon in the party room. It was a good time. You can find us on Twitter at the FFBallers, Instagram.com/FantasyFootballers. And, of course, you can watch the show on YouTube. All the reactions to the weekend, you want to see those on our faces. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. One quick announcement before we move on. We mentioned it yesterday, but we have a special event tomorrow afternoon. We're doing a DFS show live stream Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Borgen Betts in the building.
Nice little graphic there.
Yeah, they got a little graphic. They look so happy.
Yeah.
Ready to help you win some money, play some DFS this weekend. They haven't helped me at all.
Kyle says they will be talking through the Saturday three-game slates.
Ooh, fun.
Which, and if you've never done, like, if you're new to DFS, you get these special events every once in a while, like Thanksgiving, you get the three-game slate. It can be pretty fun to figure out how are you going to set a lineup with that, and we get it again this Saturday.
Well, and just looking at the schedule for these fantasy playoffs, like next weekend, your main slate is Saturday.
Right.
You have three Christmas games, but the majority of games will be played on Saturday. Jason, are you just realizing this?
Are you telling me that Christmas is next weekend?
Yes, that is how the calendar works.
Oh, my goodness. We are that close?
Yeah.
And you, Jason, your fantasy team will get an opportunity to play that weekend.
Oh, that's great news. My lights will be on this weekend. I don't have to have the glow of the TV. That feels good.
Yeah, sending your family away for Christmas, that's a little bit over the line.
Oh, it's a Christmas present. Here, I'm giving you this one early, honey.
Santa said, get out. All right, let's move on. Let's do some Never Not Working.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
All right, Mike, what do you got for us today? Never Not Working.
So today we are continuing our look at Dynasty as we head, it's about to be that time. The regular season is about to be over. You get the off season. You dive back into your Dynasty leagues, getting ready for those rookie drafts as well as making those trades. What are you going to do with these veterans? A couple veteran wide receivers that we want to talk about, because these fellers could have different quarterbacks in 2023. And what does that do to their value? Starting at the tippy.
And it makes me nervous right out of the gate.
Yeah, it should, because we've seen quarterback change be catastrophic for some, beneficial for some, but you got to start at the top. Coming off the injury, Cooper Kupp, who will be heading into his year 30, year of age. Those, spins around.
So let's go back.
That's how you say it.
What?
Going into his year 30, year of age, as they say.
As they say, 30 trips around the sun.
If Jason notices something,
yeah,
watch out.
That was, Fookland, just so you know, that was Mike Wright speaking, not me.
I'm reading your notes, Jason.
Oh, okay.
But Cooper Kupp was the wide receiver 4 coming into the season. Unfortunate injury. What's going on with Matty Stafford? Debo Samuel was the wide receiver 6. He'll be turning 27.
That's your dynasty draft position. That's what he was before
pre-season,
the season.
But what in the heck? What are the 49ers going to do? I think I was talking with B-Cat about this. Of like with San Francisco, you had the Jimmy Garoppolo trending up. Right before he got, the busted foot, they're like, well, we're going to be open to bringing him back. What does that do to Trey Lance? Now you have Brock Purdy, who is in a position to succeed. This team is going to go to the playoffs. What does the team do if Brock Purdy makes an actual playoff run?
Well,
it's not cut and dry that you just go right back to Trey Lance.
Oh, well, and Jimmy Garoppolo's
in the
equation.
And he's in the mix too.
Here's what I like. I like Debo so much more than Cooper Kupp in that scenario of changing quarterbacks, because the team has proven that different quarterbacks can succeed in the San Francisco offense, whereas Cooper Kupp's elite tier has existed solely with Matthew Stafford.
Where was he?
And he's going to be,
I'm trying to think where was he the last
3 years
year with
older.
Goff.
I think he had a wide receiver 4 finish with Goff, or at least a stretch.
I'm
maybe.
Looking it up right
okay.
now. So,
but we're talking world beater. I'm talking about like the difference between the best player in the game.
Sure. 2019, he was.
It just feels a lot riskier to me than a player that's 3 years younger in Debo, personally.
Yeah, 2019, Cooper Kupp was the wide receiver 4. That would have been a Jared Goff year. And then Terry McLaurin, dynasty startup, was the wide receiver 17. We bring these guys up because it's like, how do you compare them with their unstable situation to players like T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, DK Metcalf, who are much younger, but they have they're younger and they have stability at the quarterback position. But Cooper Kupp, Debo, especially, have been elite for fantasy purposes. So how are you comparing at this point someone like Debo Samuel with everything up in the air to T. Higgins, who's considered like the wide receiver 2 on his team, yet seen to be dominant, much younger than Debo, a couple years younger? That's a lot in Dynasty. Jason, how are you feeling about Debo now compared to T. Higgins, where it was coming into this year was, wide, like I said, wide receiver six in startup.
Yeah, I mean, Debo is great, and I agree with Andy that his quarterback situation isn't the end of the world. He's got Shanahan to scheme him plays. I honestly, the fact that Christian McCaffrey is there and will be there for a while probably has a bigger negative effect on Debo Samuel than the quarterback situation. If you're just saying, who do I prefer, Debo Samuel or T. Higgins being the two, it's definitely T. Higgins. I would draft him ahead of Debo in a startup for sure. He's several years younger, has Joe Burrow, and is locked in as a long-term, really great fantasy option.
McLaurin is the Deontay Johnson situation of the bunch, where we've seen him extremely ineffective at times. He's the one I would be – like, Mike, you moved on from him in Dynasty.
Yeah, because I had to rebuild a little bit.
During a stretch of success, I would be – he's not on the top of my wide receiver list in Dynasty.
No, and his quarterback situation isn't going to get better. The team has played well enough to where they don't have a top five future star quarterback pick coming in. You're going to have it be Heinicke or –
Jimmy G.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz or a Jimmy G type of guy come in and not be the answer.
And then you want to take a quick look at these first-round rookie wide receivers who have been overall sensational. I mean, it feels like basically every single one of them looks like they should be a hit. Drake London was the first wide receiver. It hasn't been a very evened-out fantasy season from him, but you've seen – at least I've seen enough. I'll say it that. I've seen enough from Drake London to know he is good. He can be a very good fantasy player, but he's got that system around him. Who in the heck is his quarterback? Garrett Wilson. What are the Jets going to do? Is it going to be Mike White? Is it going to be back to Zach Wilson, Chris Olave?
Every single rookie.
Yes. Every single one of these rookies has a quarterback controversy coming to them. Chris Olave with the Saints, and what are they going to do with Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Jameson Williams for the Detroit Lions?
He might be the safest.
Yeah, the most stable situation is Jared Goff.
But they could move on. Like, there is potential that the Lions find a way to move up in the draft and get their quarterback. Jahan Dotson, same problem as Terry McLaurin and the Manders. Treylon Burks, we heard tons and tons of rumors last year that the Titans wanted to move on from Ryan Tannehill. Will they be able to do that? So it's very interesting. How are you looking at all of these players right now? Is Garrett Wilson just clearly at the top for you? Or do you feel like, no, I think that Olave has, even with the mystery of who the quarterback could be, Olave could overtake Garrett Wilson as the number one rookie or sophomore.
Wilson and Olave are in a tier of their own to me. They're the highest tier, but I would put Garrett Wilson ahead. All of these players have good prospects going forward, great value. First-round rookie wide receivers in Dynasty almost always hold their value, even if they have a lost year. Like Jahan Dotson had a couple good games, then lost a lot of the year to injury and has been kind of trying to work his way back on. But as far as holding value in Dynasty, when you are a first-round NFL wide receiver drafted, even on a down year, you're going to hold your value if you want to move out. So I'm always in on first-round rookie wide receiver.
If you're going to target any of these players, we'll leave Wilson or Olave out because you're saying they're in the high tier of would be pretty difficult to acquire and trade. But between London, Jameson, Dotson, and Burks,
I'd be targeting Jameson Williams. I think the future of Jameson Williams is very bright. It feels a little bit like, you know, you could have gone and acquired Garrett Wilson after the slow start this season.
Mike did.
Yeah, you did. When he was starting to, I mean, he wasn't really heating up then. But like Jameson Williams right now feels like the player that's just one game away from being like, oh, yeah, that's who he is.
All right.
All right, get up to 100% dandruff protection. That is never not working with Head & Shoulder Scalp Shield technology, available at Walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo and see the difference.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
All right, Josh Jacobs, the quad, the hand.
Oh, it's not the calf anymore. That means he's getting stronger. I mean,
limited.
He had the calf injury that was very severe, popped up late in a week, and then rookie of the year it into
yes.
great success.
You sure he doesn't want to take the week off or something?
Oh, someone playing against Josh Jacobs?
Oh, no.
Yeah, obviously you don't want these injuries. And you remember, he played through the hand injury in the game. So
who's the best offensive weapon for the Raiders?
Between Adams and Jacobs?
Yeah, how would you define, like, taking the best away?
Devontae Adams is their best weapon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Great, great. All right, T. Higgins.
So do you.
Tyler Boyd. Limited in practice, the hamstring, the finger.
Cool.
It's nerve-wracking. Hayden Hurst, doubtful. You know, you saw Joe Burrow get it done without two-thirds of his wide receiver room and his tight end last week. So that was kind of impressive, but...
We did talk on the party room last night about T. Higgins and whether or not you would feel confident starting him. But for those of you that didn't hear, I think there was a little bit of split in that. I'm just really fearful of having it happen again.
I don't think the word confident is going to come into the equation for any fantasy
Correct.
Manager this week. I think I use the word I want to. I want to start T. Higgins.
That word?
Yeah.
That's the word you use?
Yeah.
Want versus right. versus.
We could go with, what about wanna?
Confident.
All right.
There, it's one word.
Wanna.
It's not a is wanna a real word? Or is that just something we...
I don't think so.
Like, is it officially recognized by Webster? Wanna.
W-A-N-N-A?
Yeah.
Wanna?
It's recognized by Google.
Well, that's not surprising.
Good enough for me.
All right, let's talk about the Patriots' injuries right now. Damian Harris returned to a limited practice. Jacoby Myers, limited. Devontae Parker didn't practice with a concussion. Ramondre didn't practice with the ankle.
Oh, man.
I am... This situation stinks. Jason pointed out yesterday, Damian Harris did not practice at all the week before. This is not a guarantee he's back out there if he's limited with the thigh. Like, we've seen him, like, previously in the year when he's missed games, he has had some limited practices. But this is a mess. Like, you don't have room on your team to have four options. Like, right now, there are four potential fantasy running backs on New England. Damian Harris, Ramondre could come back. Pierre Strong, Kevin Harris. Ooh.
Yeah, and we
and
won't
and
all
they play the Raiders.
I know.
So someone's scoring.
Yes.
Like I have never done a team touchdown guarantee, but one of these running backs is scoring a touchdown for New England.
I think with the information I have right now, if I had to put the wager down, I would go with Damian Harris with the limited practice. If he plays, he's the most likely, in my opinion, to score. And then I think Damian Harris kind of takes Kevin out of the equation. I think that it would be the timeshare mostly between Damian Harris and Pierre Strong, using Pierre Strong as the pass catcher. But Damian Harris becomes very interesting should he suit up. I mean, yes, he'll see 30 to 45% of the snaps, but some of those attempts will be near the goal line.
Titans wide receiver situation, Treylon Burks didn't practice, concussion.
Man.
Robert Woods didn't practice due to illness. Chig Okonkwo.
Yep.
Keep your eyes on him. Rondale Moore on IR for the Cardinals. He's not playing again this year. Brandon Cooks is practicing. Nico Collins is off to the side watching practice. Now, is he smiling? Was he frowning? Do we have any reports, Kyle?
Yeah, we need some.
What's the facial expression situation for Nico Collins? I know you're in on that.
I saw him drinking like a Gatorade bottle.
Okay.
So he's
thirsty.
So he's hydrating.
Yeah, he's hydrating.
I mean, who watches practice while pounding down some electrolytes?
Somebody who's getting ready to maybe watch it again the next day.
Yeah, the Brandon Cooks news is called Chris Moore news to me because Chris Moore is a fine pickup and play if both Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins are gone, given the matchup against Kansas City. If Brandon Cooks is back, I'm not really trying to start.
Yeah,
Chris Moore.
It's tough.
All right, that was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Fantasy forecast.
Did we ever discuss Rex Burkhead in the context of Damian Pierce's injury?
No, because we
You're not.
We respect our fans.
We respect ourselves.
I mean, Rex Burkhead will be the primary runner, and then Ogunbowale will be the pass catcher.
I just feel like you would look for an opportunity to stand for Rexy.
He will.
This is your dude.
Look, he will get.
Is he not sexy Rexy this week?
Well, I mean, he's kind of a middle-aged guy.
No, he's too old to be sexy.
Yeah. Because 15 for 25 is not sexy.
What do they call it when like a gentleman gets a little bit older? You're not sexy anymore. You're
Silver Fox.
Well, he's not. He's bald. So.
Yeah, he's not dapper. I don't know if dapper.
You can't be dapper without hair.
Hmm. Or a silver fox.
That's
hair is really gonna be. You can't be any of these things in your future,
oh,
Jason.
Man.
Apparently not. So, yeah, I mean, without surgery. So we'll see.
All right, into the fantasy forecast we go. We have three Saturday games. We're going to cover them first. The Colts are 4-8-1. Minnesota is 10-3. The game's in Minnesota, and the DraftKings Sportsbook line has Minnesota as 4-point favorites. The over-under is 48. Minnesota can clinch the NFC North with a win or a Lions loss to the Jets. Both teams began the year with the same preseason win total of 9.5. It has not gone well for the Colts.
And speaking of clinching, playing the Colts in your fantasy lineup, because you might want to do it, the matchup is so, so juicy. Looking at the Vikings on the season, 31st against quarterbacks, 32nd against wide receivers in the past 6 weeks, 28th against quarterback, 25 against running backs, 32nd against wide receivers. This defense allows points. Yes, Minnesota's favored by 4, but that 48-point over-under puts the Colts at an implied team total of 22, which is that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't agree.
Okay.
But I understand why you're making the case, because you're trying to find some value here in a plus matchup for a team with players that have provided, you know, Michael Pittman has had his games this year. You've had, you know, obviously Jonathan Taylor's going to be in your lineup. Paris Campbell has been heavily involved. He's been a better points per game player than Pittman has been since about week 4. But I can't get behind the Colts going into Minnesota this week. And there's a lot on the line for Minnesota. Jeff Saturday and Matt Ryan combined freaks me out. So I just can't find myself there, and it's just a difference of opinion.
Yeah, I am more on the side that I do think the Colts will put up points. The Vikings defense has just been so bad, and obviously this is a team that's won 10 games, so they're not a bad roster. Their offense is going to be able to move against the Colts. There should be value to be had, whether that's Pittman Jr. or Paris Campbell. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's in.
I think even Alec Pierce.
Well, yeah, because big plays are really what's been hurting Minnesota the most, and that does kind of lend itself towards Alec Pierce.
Yeah, last week was not good for the yearly numbers for the Minnesota Vikings. They gave up 55 fantasy points
55!
To the wide receiver position. So those Lions last week were going crazy. So I just don't trust Matt Ryan to take advantage of such things.
I totally understand that. Dalvin Cook is in. Jefferson is in.
Hockenson is a Lockenson.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. What do you do with Adam Thielen?
I bench him. You probably don't need to mess around.
Yeah, I put him on the bench. The Colts have been pretty good against fantasy wide receivers, 7th on the season. And he was popping up on the injury reports and things. He came through last week, very plus matchup against the Detroit Lions, and it took kind of a pretty big touchdown there to get it done. So I'm not playing Thielen, but what are you doing with Kirk Cousins? You have an implied team total of 26. Are you willing to stream him?
Yeah, he's a clinch and stream.
Kirk Cousins or a super streamer, Mike White?
Andy?
Look, Cousins is safer.
Okay.
To get you a floor because of the injury risk to Mike White. But otherwise, I'd want Mike White. If I'm not a heavy favorite, I'm probably going to play Mike White. Jason, Dalvin Cook or Jonathan Taylor, who has the better game? You have a Vikings defense that has been beat up recently on the ground, but on the year schedule adjusted, they're 10th, whereas the Colts defense 25th against the run. Past 6 weeks, they're 28th. Like, who has the better game between those running backs?
Both are going to be phenomenal options. I think Jonathan Taylor probably ends up with a better game because he's more the centerpiece of the Colts offense than Dalvin Cook is of the Vikings offense. But, you're talking about top five running backs this week. Dalvin Cook should be a smash play. He wasn't someone I loved last week against Detroit. I do love him this week. When you're at home, the favorite by four in a plus matchup, there's no decisions to be made there, just high fives to be given.
Michael Pittman?
I'm playing him.
I would play him as well. There's a lot of, we go through tons of names where, you're talking about a spot start.
Adam Thielen or Michael Pittman?
I would go with Pittman.
Michael Pittman.
Okay.
would you play Thielen over Pittman?
I am nervous about that Pittman floor. I mean, that's two fantasy points last time out. I don't know. I guess I'd try Pittman out there because of the matchup. Yeah, I guess I'd be with you guys on that.
Yeah, the Dallas defense last week, they the last time you saw Pittman, but prior to that, you had Pittman with 61 yards, 71 yards, 53 yards. So he's got an
involvement.
I'm with you.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back with the Ravens-Browns. Baltimore, 9-4, taking on the 5-8 Cleveland Browns. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Cleveland -3. Really?
Quarterback situation.
The over-under is 37. And this game is going to be gross.
Yeah.
Gross alert.
Yep.
37-point over-under. Baltimore games have hit the under 9 of 13 times. Cleveland hasn't hit their implied point total in three straight games because Vegas can't figure out how inept Voldemort is. We don't think that Lamar will be back out there.
No. Did not practice Wednesday.
Yeah, this is a mess. I mean, you haven't been able to witness an Amari Cooper game with Deshaun Watson that gives you great confidence, although at home, Amari Cooper is going to be a start for you. You just have to hope that Watson figures things out. I mean, it was better last week than the week before. It wasn't good.
Yeah, he's obviously dealing with a hip issue, which is the downside. The upside is he's been great for the majority of years, or for the majority of the year. He's been awesome at home, and last week he was on the field for 86% of snaps. So he's out there. I'm going to start Amari Cooper. I would start him over Pittman pretty easily.
Nick Chubb is the RB5 on the year, but he's only been top 24 once in the last month. Donovan Peoples-Jones, double-digit fantasy points in 4 of 6 games. He's looked good. He seems to have some sort of rapport with Mr. Watson, but I like David Njoku better, as a difference maker this week than I think, Peoples-Jones or even maybe Cooper.
Yeah, David Njoku's been very involved. He's back completely from his injury, running a lot of routes, had targets and a great matchup last week, and the Ravens, they're pretty good against the run. I think you're going to need to throw the ball, and David Njoku is going to be a good option.
It was Njoku's highest snap share of the season off of the injury. 9 targets, 7 for 59.
He's just different, physically, athletically.
Yes, he is.
Even his touchdown, the way he stretched the ball out. I mean, on the other side, the real question is can you trust Mark Andrews? Because right now, it's been really bad. I mean, he's going to be on the road in this game. He hasn't hit double-digit fantasy points since week 6 of the season. You have somebody in David Njoku, Jason, who you love this week.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have the stones
to
play David Njoku? I mean, let's take a look.
Like versus Mark Andrews.
Yeah, versus Mark Andrews. I would love to know the points per game difference between those two on the year.
So first off, you have to say Tyler Huntley.
Right, that's where I was going.
He was upgraded to full practice on Wednesday. He left Sunday's matchup with a concussion. Full practice on Wednesday means he's probably going to play. So at least –
Yeah, if Huntley
you
is,
have that.
If Huntley is out there, it's not a decision to be made. I couldn't put Mark Andrews on the bench. I realize he has not been great. Last week was a complete dud, but obviously ended up with the majority of the game with a third string quarterback. If that same third string quarterback is out there, you might have to take a look at what your options are. But it looks like as of this recording that Huntley is going to be in line to play. We'll know beforehand, and then I would be still confident in Mark Andrews.
Yeah, they're not too far apart in points per game on the year, David Njoku and Mark Andrews. And I believe Njoku got knocked out of one game, right?
Believe so.
So 10.7, 9.2. Last year you saw Huntley with the rapport with Andrews. You hope he can get that back on the road here. The Browns defense 13th against tight ends. Everyone wants to know what you do with J.K. Dobbins this week. The Cleveland defense, 29th against the run over the last 6 weeks, 31st on the year. This has been one of the best matchups for running backs you can find. I mean, are we all in the J.K. Dobbins camp this week?
Yeah, we talked about it last night that the Browns, while on the course of the season and even, you know, the last six numbers has been good, the last 3 weeks they've been shutting down the run a little bit more. J.K. Dobbins is certainly someone that you can start, but I see him as a running back three option solely because he doesn't really catch passes.
Because he has a giant rock in his shoe while he's running?
Right. His gas tank is still very small. He blamed that for the reason why that run did not house it.
So yeah, the best way to kind of conserve cardiovascular health is limping.
Yeah, that was so weird. So I see him as a running back three option that you can start.
Zonovan Knight.
I would go Zonovan.
Oh,
Raheem Mostert.
Oh, man. Raheem Mostert, the weather is going to be bad against Buffalo, playing good, but he should be the guy. I lean Mostert.
Najee Harris.
Najee.
Okay, you're living up to your RB3 category here for J.K. Dobbins. I think it could be a little bit brighter for Mr. Dobbins.
I do too.
This is the fourth highest run percentage team in football, with finally some talent there at the running back position. I think he's an RB2. Okay. How about that, Mike?
I'd put him at a low end. Like I think the Zonovan Knight one is very difficult with the matchup against the Lions, who have kind of turned it around against the run.
And we're not glancing at wide receivers in Baltimore, are we, this week?
No.
With such a low over
under? No, not doing it.
Let's talk about the weather game here. Miami 8-5 taking on the Buffalo Bills, who are sitting at 10-3. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Buffalo -7 at home. The over under is 43.5. Miami beat the Bills in week 3, 21-19, where Josh Allen threw the ball 63 times.
Whew.
But Miami is sitting here, you know, they are on a bit of a funky ride. It's not been good. They've looked pretty ugly on the offensive side of the ball. In fact, a player like Jaylen Waddle, who's been pretty quiet lately, is a question mark in terms of the kind of production you're going to get. I think it's been 4 weeks of struggles for Mr. Waddle. So are we expecting Miami to make the adjustments necessary to give you some excitement in this game?
I am pessimistic. Someone like Tyreek Hill, who it scheme doesn't matter, defense doesn't matter when you have that kind of speed. And Waddle has that, but Waddle has been waddling. It does not seem at full strength right now. So I'm a little bit pessimistic, especially when you consider that, you know, we've talked about the weather a little bit. I'm looking at the weather.
I'm not seeing bad weather.
I'm seeing
precipitation chances at 9% now.
Okay, so
what?
The
drop from 90?
No, here's what's funny is I was going to bring this up. The source that I usually use that is pretty accurate, I have never seen this number, but it is saying 100% chance of precipitation. So they're not even given a 1% chance that it doesn't.
So pay attention. I mean, the weather be weathering. But it's been projected for rain most of the week.
Yeah, so TBD, we'll get an update on that tomorrow.
Significant lake effect snow over the weekend with 9 inches or more of snow in the most persistent lake snow areas.
Heavy snow and wind.
Yeah.
Woof.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, the source I looked up must be inaccurate compared to – that's Cameron Wolf tweeting that out. So It's fair to say there's heavy weather risk in this game.
Yes.
And that the passing game that has been had been flowing for the Dolphins, there are more question marks surrounding it when you play a Bills defense that is the last 6 weeks they've started to show some signs of improvement, especially against the quarterback position. And
you have the Dolphins going from a West Coast game. You know, they just I guess they were in L.A., right? I'm pretty sure the Dolphins played the Chargers in L.A.?
Correct. All right. Then they played at San Francisco the week before.
Yeah, so now they're going to Buffalo. This is just a lot of traveling. There was a good defensive scheme by the Chargers that was implemented, and now you're playing a good defensive team. I'm a little bit pessimistic on the Dolphins outside of Tyreek Hill right now.
So Tua Tagovailoa, is he entering a category where you're willing to play somebody you have more confidence in that's in the streaming category? Because Tua has been a lock for most teams this year.
Yeah, he's right now my quarterback 10, so I have him behind Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. He's right next to Mike White, and that one's always going to be the big question this week is how much do you believe in Mike White?
Brooks, what's the question that you had for this game?
Oh, about Waddle? You guys were talking about Waddle. I just wondered, are there any circumstances you'd actually bench him? With the worry you guys are
not
out there.
Not for me, because last week was a Tua problem. It wasn't a Waddle injury problem. He was out there, I think, second highest snap count of the year. And I think the only way for this game to go, the way anybody wants it to go is for these two teams to battle it out and to put some points on the board, divisional matchup. The weather is a worry. No doubt about that.
I think a scenario that is plausible is what if you had DeAndre Hopkins against Denver with Kirk Cousins? So on the road against Denver, or you're picking between him or Jalen Waddle.
Did you just say with Kirk Cousins?
Oh, I'm sorry, with
Colt McCoy?
Colt McCoy. Yeah, that's his name.
You see
name.
Them the same? Or?
No, but Jalen Waddle or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'll play Hopkins. Yeah, McCoy is a pretty good at getting the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and I had one other name I wanted to bring up with regards to whether you would actually bench Waddle, because this one is legitimate. He could be someone you picked up a couple weeks ago off of the waivers. Christian Watson, who's been on fire off the bye.
Wow.
Would you play if it came down to you've got really good wide receivers?
Yeah.
Would you stay in the flames of Watson or the
talent? If you're
talent?
In that boat, I would play Christian Watson, but you're talking about Watson's had a 5 or 6 week run now.
Yeah,
this isn't a 1 week boom, so hopefully you can play them both.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill, he's in. Jeff Wilson didn't practice on a Wednesday. Raheem Mostert could get 15 or more touches in this game.
Yeah, it should be the process. It should be a ton of Mostert. Can he come through? That's the TBD part.
Will it be the Mostert you've seen or?
No. Boston.
That's what you went with? I didn't get crickets or anything. There it is. Appropriate. Devin Singletary, James Cook, or no one?
I don't like this question.
If you have to pick between them, I still lean the explosive speed of Cook right now, but I would go no one as my answer. You know, the running backs we were looking at earlier, Dobbins. All the guys you named earlier, I would play ahead of Singletary and Cook.
We getting a big game out of Josh Allen this week?
Probably, because I think he's going
to
run.
He's going to have to run a lot.
All right, the Sunday games. Let's jump in. Philadelphia, 12-1. Chicago's 3-10. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Philadelphia -9. The over-under is 48.5. And the world wants a very, very healthy Justin Fields for this game.
Well, he is not.
Yeah, right now he didn't practice due to illness, but again, I send him the emergency.
Yes.
Send him whatever you need to get him on this field, because his availability says a lot to me about the ceiling of this game. This Eagles offense is rolling. Yeah, they're number one in points scored, the third in total yards, they're number one in fourth down conversions. They have been dominating. Jalen Hurts. It's not like you're benching him.
No.
But if you are in the playoffs, you'd love 37 to 40 points, not 25 to 29.
Yeah, you'd love to see him score in the second half, and he might not need to if Justin Fields isn't out there. And Fields in his own right is a phenomenal start. I realize that the Eagles are a great defense, but it doesn't really matter when you have the running capabilities and the now permission and game plan to run and utilize those. Fields is in. I mean, obviously he's got an illness right now. I would assume by Saturday or Sunday for his game that he'll be good to go. And if he is, I would play him over, you know, all those guys we just mentioned. That's not even a question, right?
I'd go Fields.
Yeah.
David Montgomery's been fairly steady of late, getting a lot of the work out of the backfield since the Herbert injury. You can definitely play David Montgomery. You just want touches. And again, I'd feel better about David Montgomery with Justin Fields in the lineup because I want him to have a chance to score and get inside the 20. But he'll have enough work. Chase Claypool, don't think about that. Cole Kmet.
Yeah. It's hard to remember how good he was
like
playing
forever.
Because of their bye week. But, you know, before the bye week, 7 targets, 6 targets, then a 4, then a 7, then a 6. Most of his games, he's been very involved. We like the actual talent. And, you know, this is the position where you can play mediocrity.
Yeah, I think Cole Kmet's back into top 12 upside.
Okay. All right. What about the other side of the ball? Miles Sanders.
Yes.
Seems like a smash play this week.
Yep. I'm not overthinking this one. Miles,
what do you do with
locked.
Dallas Goedert, who is still questionable to return? If he's active in this game, are you willing to go right back to Dallas Goedert as a foundational piece?
If he is, oh, man. Context, of course, but more than likely if he's active, I'm going to put him out there. But we do have the latest quote from yesterday. Goddard himself saying it's still up in the air. Things are trending in the right direction, but got to get out there and practice and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you can really put it to the test here with Cole Kmet. Like if Goddard was active and you've got those two guys who are starting, I would start Dallas Goedert.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. People are excited to get him back for the fantasy playoffs. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith have been great. You got to get them out there. And, I hope this is a competitive game. It's a great over-under, and I think that's indicative of what Justin Fields can do even against a good defense. So the recipe for the Bears lately have been stay competitive, make some flashy plays, and then lose.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild because the season record-wise is exactly as you prescribed for the Bears. And the performance by Justin Fields has been the surprise and the delight. Like, I had a friend of mine who's a Bears fan, just visceral anger at my 3-win prediction for the Bears. He tells me now he is hoping they only win 3 games at this point. They're 3-10 and he wants that high draft pick.
If you're a Bears fan,
it's the best 3-win season you've had.
I would be very, very pleased. You were able to get some draft capital to try and improve the team. Justin Fields, I think, answered some questions. So you don't have to go into the draft with that really high pick going, do we take a quarterback? Do we not? No, it's now take best player available or even trade down.
Yeah,
I think you're in a very good spot.
They have got the resources to build the right way in a division that's going to have opportunities, right? Like this Minnesota team, 9-0 in 1-score games, that's something that you see pivot real quickly. And then
old enough to remember when the Cardinals were 7-0 last year. And it just feels like you look at the Eagles and the Vikings that have just been great this season, they don't seem the same great. One of them seems actually great, and one of them seems like a little house of cards.
We get like a Lions-Bears battle at the top here for a few years?
That'd be fun.
Ooh.
Atlanta. Hey, I don't think Al would like that. But you've had the division for like 100 years, so.
Yep.
Atlanta's 5-8. The New Orleans Saints are 4-9. Less exciting to talk about this one. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, New Orleans.
About massive playoff implications here.
Yeah, New Orleans -4, over-under is 43.5. This is essentially a playoff elimination game for these teams, which they should be very much eliminated already, but they're not. So you have Desmond Ridder making his first NFL start. Marcus Mariota, if you hadn't seen, on IR, knee surgery. Third-round pick, Desmond Ridder. If I had to kind of carve out what I want to do with my first start in the NFL, I don't think going to New Orleans would be on the top of my list, but I think this coaching staff in Atlanta will do everything they can to prevent catastrophe for Desmond Ridder, which, you know, Mike, you talked about it, I think, on Spotify Live or in the show yesterday morning. We don't expect a lot of pass attempts from Desmond Ridder. This is a team that will hand the ball ruthlessly to Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson and Huntley, and Desmond Ridder will run the football. Like, over under, genuinely, over under of 12 completions in this game for Desmond Ridder.
For Desmond, I think that's a pretty good line. I lean the over, but that's a very tough call.
Yeah, I figure about 20 pass attempts, and so rookie throwing the ball to not great options. Yeah, what a good line you have set there. But it does also insinuate that the running backs will be very involved. Cordarrelle Patterson has, I believe, three games in a row where you're both disappointed, but he's gotten double-digit opportunities. And this is a game where I think you're going to see him more involved and is an okay play. It's not a perfect matchup, but if they're going to score, and you assume, look, even with Ridder, they're an NFL team. They're going to go out there and they're going to score. And if I had to put money on who gets a touchdown in this game, it would be Cordarrelle Patterson.
Just for some context of what to expect, not that I've seen a lot of hype about Desmond Ridder being some sort of playoff winner at the running or the quarterback position, not the collegiate runner that many of these other guys were. I mean, he played 14 games in his senior season, ran for 300 yards. He will be mobile.
Yeah, he's
but he's not Justin Fields or right. Jalen Hurts out there. Cordarrelle Patterson, I don't know what in the world to do with him. I really don't. Like, there's a situation where players have like Ramondre out this week, and maybe you have the option of pivoting to a Cordarrelle Patterson, and he's in the kind of scary category. Like, we've never seen him with Ridder on the field. We've seen this team stay committed to Tyler Allgeier at times. Like, what do you do with Cordarrelle? Because how low is the floor?
Yeah, since returning from the injury, Cordarrelle is averaging 42% of the running back attempts and 53% of the running back targets. So it's not a workhorse situation. He is very much a part-time player on a bad offense with a rookie quarterback. So I'm pretty scared to play Cordarrelle Patterson. Desperate times certainly call for certain things. Looking at the matchup over the past 6 weeks, the Saints are 19th against running backs, so you know, right in the middle of the pack there.
I don't know if you play any Falcons.
He's basically like a Latavius Murray type of player. I'm starting to really
without Latavius volume though.
Right, I'm starting to put it to the test where it's like, okay, I think there's an avenue for him to have a very relevant game here. But in reality, I'm going to start almost every option over Cordarrelle. Like, when I put the names to the test, it's just like there's better paths for most other players.
Kyle, you are the resident Atlanta Falcons expert. Thoughts on starting Falcons this week?
Don't do it. You don't have to do it. Just don't do it.
Don't do it. You don't have to do it. Got it.
Good.
What about the Saints, though? The Saints offense, I wouldn't call it dynamic with Andy Dalton at the helm. Chris Olave is, talent-wise, outstanding, but
what do you make of the Falcons over the past 6 weeks, first against wide receivers in adjusting for schedule?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. The teams have been able to run on them. You know, that's a piece of the puzzle.
All right.
Olave is in your lineup. You just need to trust the fact that he's going to be the highest volume receiver they have. Alvin Kamara, an opportunity out of the bye to be healthy. No Mark Ingram and get the job done.
Yep,
He's somebody that could win you a week.
This is, you know, you might have traded for him or you might have held on through a bad stretch knowing that he had tough matchups. It was for this run of the playoffs. He is absolutely in your lineup and I believe has a really good game. The Falcons over the last 6 weeks, you know, you're talking about, oh, maybe they've gotten better against wide receivers. Maybe that's a sham. Regardless, they're not really bottling up the run.
Taysom Hill, is he on your bench?
He's in my Megalo Bowl lineup. I'm shooting
Chig
for the moon.
Chig Okonkwo or Taysom Hill?
Okonkwo.
I feel like Okonkwo has a higher baseline with the expectation that Treylon Burks is out. But, man, he doesn't have the same ceiling that Taysom has.
Just like what
Darren Waller, if he's activated, or Taysom Hill.
Darren Waller.
I think I'd go Darren Waller.
Yeah, I mean it's
and Chig.
But I'm scared.
Yeah, I did forget Hugh Taysom ended up as the number one tight end the last time we saw him.
Oh boy,
I forgot.
Yeah,
that was a particularly bad week for tight ends.
It was the big touchdown catch, right?
Yeah, but it was with 12.3 points in a half point scoring format. That's not great.
Not even he's not even a good number
he's
one.
He's going to be out there. He's going to be involved. I'm switching to Taysom.
Okay. The Detroit Football Lions, who I am rooting for, 6-7, taking on the New York Football Jets, who are 7-6.
Rome.
The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, the Jets -1. I mean, this game it's up in the air. The over-under is 44.5. Both teams had 6.5 win preseason win totals. Dan Campbell, Robert Saleh, both lovable coaches you can root for. Both teams have been the underdog for many, many years, the bottom of the league, really. And so you have this kind of contrast in successful styles on these teams. The Detroit defense is a sieve, whereas the Jets defense is their backbone. You've seen the Mike White experience, which has been good, right? The offense has been really good with Mike White. They're 1-2 with Mike White.
Yeah.
So it's been very interesting to watch. You've had the emergence of Zonovan Knight over the last 3 weeks with 17 or more opportunities in all three of those weeks. You've had Garrett Wilson absolutely becoming a must-start option. And then you had 10 targets for Elijah Moore last week. And we don't know, and we don't really expect Corey Davis to be back.
Yeah, I think that Elijah Moore is in play. He probably got picked up this week off of the waiver wire. We've looked up, you know, how are the Lions doing against slot wide receivers, and they give up points. You know, you had the big Wandale Robinson game. That was forever ago. I remember when Wandale had his breakout game. That was against the Lions. Isaiah McKenzie. It's been just really bad over the course of the season, yet good against the Lions. Christian Kirk, KJ Osborne, these guys had very solid weeks against this Lions team. That gives me even more confidence to play Elijah Moore. And Garrett Wilson, of course, he's in. But going to Zonovan Knight, I can't remember which running back we were saying, do you want to start him? Because he's been a breath of fresh air, an excellent running back, getting a lot of opportunities. But that was against Chicago, Minnesota, Buffalo, who you can run on these days. Detroit, not giving up points to the running back position. First in scheduled adjusted on the season. Second.
That's on the whole season.
On the past 6 weeks, which it could just be a Houston Texans funnel thing where you can throw so easily on this team that you don't really run the ball. That doesn't really matter. The point is running backs are not putting up points on the Lions.
And it is good running backs. You know, we saw Dalvin Cook last week.
Sure.
We've seen Travis Etienne. We've seen Saquon Barkley. We saw Miami when they were rolling with their running games. If you look backwards, you know.
Too big of a sample to just chalk it up to.
Yeah, it's not luck at this point.
10 points, 12 points, 5 points, 7 points, 8 points, 10 points.
Those
numbers? No. That's the number of points below the average expectation of that team coming in. They are really shut. And like you said, it might be half shutting down the run and half opening up the airwaves. But this is why we like
Dalvin Cook ran it 15 times. He only gained 23 total yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to throw the ball. And this is against a team who leads the NFL in yards allowed per game, over 400. This is why we like Mike White. This is why, you know, you feel like you need the passing options. This is why Elijah Moore looks like he's a good pickup and play this week, because you're going to throw the ball and find success against the Lions.
And they're at home. So you're going to have an opportunity to put that offense on display. The game is a toss-up, basically. I'm excited about it. The question marks are really on the offensive side of the Lions, because can you trust this offense that's been so dynamic? Who, you know, you've seen big plays now. You've got big players on the field now, right? We look over the course of the year and we say, well, you know, the Jets are an awesome defense, but the Lions didn't have Jameson Williams and DJ Chark weeks ago, and Jared Goff's been so much better at home. Like, what do you put the odds that they come out and they can do what they've been doing on offense against the Jets?
I put it well below 50% as far as do what they've been doing, which has been just they're putting up points, they're moving the ball with ease. I think they're going to have a much more difficult time if they get pressure on Jared Goff against what he has not been too under pressure with the great offensive line. He's not going to be able to get the ball down the field quite the same, and you've got to deal with Sauce Gardner. So I think there's going to be some struggles here. Now, you're not benching Amon Ross St. Brown, like, under right. any circumstance. He's just too good, too involved. But when it comes to, like, last week, we were very pro starting DJ Chark. We mentioned Jameson Williams in a, you know, in DraftKings-type lineups for the big play. I don't see those guys having a lot of success against the Jets being able to throw the ball downfield.
Tyler Conklin, Mike?
He's
matchup
just,
play?
Yeah, this is like the – we're going to talk about him in a second, but you will notice a theme in my starts of the week. But the matchup is there, and the targets have been there for Conklin. And the kind of highlighting, you know, the Mike White, the way that they play the last 2 weeks, they ran 83 plays against Minnesota. They ran 73 plays against Buffalo. Like, they go – this is a very fast offense when it is not Zach Wilson on the field.
And, you know, what we talk about with Elijah Moore being a good play because Corey Davis is out, that helps Tyler Conklin targets
yeah.
as well.
Yep.
Pittsburgh's 5-8. They take on the 5-8 Carolina Panthers, who control their own destiny. Yes, that's true. That is true. Sam Darnold, playoff appearance. Here we come. One team totally out of it. One team totally in it.
And same record.
Same record. Yeah, the Panthers. Look,
that is just an analogy for life, ladies and gentlemen. That, like, sometimes just right place, right time.
Yeah.
Same record. One of these teams, no chance. No chance to make the playoffs.
What failed season, awful.
Other team, failed season, and yet.
Control your own destiny.
They could make the playoffs.
Ridiculous.
And I really enjoyed watching them run the football last week. I thought they were incredible. The offensive line.
They wore out the Seahawks defensive line.
They beat them up.
Yeah, they did.
They beat them up, and now you have two potential starting running backs that are in the mix this week for the Carolina Panthers. You had 21 carries by Deonta Foreman. You had 14 carries and 17 total opportunities for Chuba Hubbard. Now, I assume we will be on the side of Deonta Foreman in this one, but I think Chuba Hubbard looked better last week. That's what's getting me, is Hubbard looked outstanding.
Yeah, I think that you could be in a deeper league where you are looking at, what do I do at the running back position? I've lost players. I think that Chuba he's in that desperation start area.
Can we not talk about the Panthers anymore? There's no other players to talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
DJ Moore, don't play him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. The other side of the ball, you have Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett, I mean, he left the game with a concussion. And remember, I don't what week was it? Kenny Pickett had a concussion earlier in the season.
Listed as questionable right now. What's the practice situation with Kenny Pickett? Because, limited on Wednesday heading into week 15. So
yeah, I mean, with the second one already in the season, it seems like it'll be Mitchell Trubisky. I know that the Steelers would prefer it not to be that way, but you got to protect the young man.
Over-unders is 37 points, Jason. Carolina's 3-point favorites. Najee Harris has been
better.
Much better of late. You're comfortable with him?
Yeah.
George Pickens, Deontay Johnson?
You know, it's not going to be great.
Matchup is good.
The matchup is good, but if the Carolina Panthers are able to run the ball, have this be a low-scoring affair, targets coming from probably Mitchell Trubisky, I'm not very excited about them, about really either of them. I see them as flex-level options where you have to make a call, this guy or that guy. Like, for instance, and I think we'll differ here, me and you, Andy, but I would rather have Michael Pittman over Pickens and Deontay.
I lean that way, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do it over Pickens, but I would be fine with over Johnson. Pat Freiermuth didn't practice Wednesday. Expects to play. Nerve-wracking, Mike. Yeah. Are you trying to assemble an entire lineup of questionable players? You have T. Higgins. Pat Freiermuth. Is this a strategy?
It's mental warfare upon my opponent that they see all the questionable players on my team and they relax. And they just they take it easy. They think they can have a light stroll to a victory. And then
Seems like mental warfare for you too.
Oh yeah, definitely. But it's what is iron sharpens iron.
Sure.
So it's just I'm at war with myself.
Right. No, this is the dark house. This is the light from the TV.
Which one of my players scored 0 points this week?
It will be one.
One, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you need to plan on it. Just build your lineup around that reality. No, it's nerve-wracking. He's supposed to be out there. You probably don't have a better option if he is. But
would you go like
Carolina's good against the tight end to begin with.
Would you go Greg D with the backup quarterback against Arizona?
I would. The matchup Arizona, you guys have taught me. Week after week after week. You just don't care about the name.
No.
If it was blank space, comma, T-E, mm-hmm. on the roster sheet, you would start him against Arizona. I'm learning my lesson there.
It works out.
All right. All the rankings, the start, sit, tool, it's on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. It's time for our starts of the week.
Starts of the week.
All right. I'll kick it off. I'll get it out of the way. To start our starts of the week here, Michael White. Michael White himself.
Let's go.
The quarterback position, it's a little tough this week, and I'm going to go with the premier matchup for the quarterback, which is facing the Detroit Lions. Mike White, in six starts over the last 2 years, the Jets have averaged 74 offensive plays per game. That's number one in the NFL. I want him throwing the ball. They're not going to be able to run it successfully. We just broke the game down. I think Mike White is a high upside. You'll put his picture on the wall type of player. If he leads you to a fantasy playoff win.
I'm going with Dak Prescott off of the bad performance against the Houston Texans. We talked about that being a bad matchup to play, but since week 8, the Dallas offense, they rank number one in points per game, number two in total yards per game, number two in expected points per play, and this is a matchup where you can have confidence in Dak against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Over the last 8 weeks, Jacksonville ranks 31st in EPA per pass attempt, 29th in points per game allowed, 29th in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. So Dak is here in the playoffs to get you to the next round.
And ladies and gentlemen, my starts of the week, these are for the downtrodden. I know there are teams that you limped into the playoffs. You are beat up. You have lost your star players. So I have tried to go into the dumpster to find players that I legitimately think can be played and have some upside this week. We've seen the steel underpants. We've seen the titanium underpants.
No one knows the dumpsters like Mike.
No, no. You got to go
or
in.
Or the underpants.
And sometimes you find a deal down there.
I can't. Look away, everyone.
This week we have moved to unobtainium undies. The quarterback start of the week is Matthew Ryan versus the Minnesota Vikings, and we all know how I feel about Jeff Saturday, so you know that I have to really like this matchup. Over the past 5 weeks,
to trust your undies, bro.
It has been the second best quarterback matchup on the season. The Vikings are allowing the most passing yards, the second highest rate of 15 plus yard pass plays. Matt Ryan has two top five finishes this year. That's as many as Justin Herbert. Before you vomit all over yourself.
I'm looking for the Dramamine.
But the first week with Jeff Saturday and Matt Ryan was a very plus matchup against the Raiders. That offense came through. I think that Matt Ryan, should you be in a deep league and you are desperate, he works.
He works. My running back start of the week.
Yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco, those quick feet, those ferocious hits, takes on the Houston Texans. This is the preeminent matchup for the running back position.
Yes, it is.
Most running back fantasy points given up. Houston is so benevolent with what they provide opposing running backs, and he's been very good lately. Over the last month, he's the running back 11, 17.5 opportunities per game. They figured some stuff out with him. He had that just bone-crushing run to end the victory last week. I think Isaiah Pacheco is a lock for a really high floor this week.
And at start of the week for me, I am going with the running back 39 over the past 5 weeks.
Nice.
Alvin Kamara is Super Kamario this week. I am trusting the matchup against Atlanta. Mark Ingram has gone on IR. They picked up Eno Benjamin, and we know from every team getting rid of Eno Benjamin that they do not want...
It'll be David Johnson. David Johnson will be the... I mean, he's on the 53 now, and he will be the guy
behind him, which
is all you need to know.
They claimed Eno, right? Is that what you were saying?
Yes, they claimed...
Sorry, I was reading ahead.
Eno Benjamin. Alvin Kamara, I do believe, will have a great game this week. Atlanta's 22nd versus fantasy running backs and 28th in expected points per rush attempt. They are 4-point home favorites in a very important game. Alvin Kamara has had a bad stretch of difficult, difficult matchups. He gets the pendulum swinging all the way to the other side, and I think he's a must start this week.
Latavius Murray versus the Arizona Cardinals. I told you it was going to be gross. Since week 8, Arizona 28th in schedule adjusted fantasy points to fantasy running backs. Just look at what happened last week. Ramondre Stevenson, the dude for the New England Patriots, goes down, and two running backs that I don't know, the majority of people watching that game had never even heard of, both came through with fantasy performances because you can beat this defense. No Mike Boone. I mean, like, we kind of were talking about Marlon Mack, who had the one big play for the Denver Broncos this past week. If you're not concerned about Marlon Mack, as you probably shouldn't be, that means that Latavius Murray is going to get a bunch of volume. I'm expecting 15-plus touches. You'll have the chance to get into the end zone. It's going to be inefficient. It will be gross. But the volume and the points should be there.
The Cardinals are missing their best defensive lineman this week. I mean, Zach Allen is done, most likely. He's had hand surgery, and he is their best player on the defensive line. So that makes a lot of sense. Keenan Allen is my start of the week at the wide receiver position against the pass funnel Tennessee defense. You saw Justin Herbert just needed his guys back. That's what he needed, and this is going to be a really good game. Derrick Henry is going to get it done for the Tennessee offense. So I think you have the chance for a more of a shootout than people expect, and is a rock solid option this week.
Yeah, I have a hard time not having Justin Herbert be my number one quarterback overall this week. The matchup is perfect, and I'm taking Mike Williams right across the
baby.
Field. Play both of them. Everything Andy said about Keenan Allen, holds true for Mike Williams. If you take out week 11, when Mike Williams played 9% of the snaps, he's averaging 13.3 fantasy points and 76 receiving yards per game. Just came back for a 6-for-116 and a touchdown on 65% of snaps. And he is the
deep. That sounds like a good season.
Yeah.
It is.
For Mike Williams.
He's had a great year.
He's
just been, in and out of the lineup,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Right. No, a really nice year.
Yeah. Very nice year. Very nice player. Wonderful week.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman, now is the time against the Minnesota Vikings. I laid out a bunch of quarterback stats for the disgusting play that is Matthew Ryan. But just to piggyback on that, a tweet from good friend of the show, Ian Harditz from PFF. Vikings defense versus wide receivers aligned on the outside. Passing yards allowed, 32nd. Explosive pass play rate, 32nd. Yards per attempt, 32nd. Passer rating, 32nd.
So Alec Pierce.
It definitely could be Alec Pierce, but like I'm saying, if I have Michael Pittman and he's just been rotting away on my bench, I think that this is the week you can put him into the flex. Close your eyes and pray.
Mike is riding dirty.
These are
pre-pooped underpants, by the way. These are not.
I got them out of the dumpster.
Yeah, these are not. These have been. These
you
have
only
got,
throw underpants in the dumpster for one reason.
These are not gently used.
Imagine putting those on. That's rough.
These are very used.
Very used underwear.
Yeah, no elastic
picks of the week. Greg Dulcich is my. I'm going Greg D against Arizona. 8 targets last week. I don't care if it's Russell Wilson or not. Russell Wilson stinks. This is about opportunity. This is about the quarter or the tight end position being an indefensible position for the Arizona Cardinals. They allow 14.8 fantasy points per game to the tight end position. That is one, egregious, two, dead last in the NFL.
It's such a crazy amount.
So we all have Greg D ranked as a top 10 tight end this week.
Yeah, he's a good play. I'm going with David Njoku against Baltimore. Last week, 96% of snaps, 9 targets, went 7-for-58 and a touchdown, was a tight end 3. He's already gone 7-for-71 against these Ravens earlier this year. In this barren tight end landscape, Njoku should be as good as any other back end tight end this week.
Conk, conk, baby. Tyler Conklin against Detroit. The Lions are the third best matchup for tight ends on the season behind Seattle and the aforementioned Arizona. The output was not there, but the opportunity was. In the freezing rain this past week, he had 8 targets, Again, it didn't turn into anything, but a tight end getting eight targets, that's something you want to chase, and that was just off the back of seven the previous week. So I think that Tyler Conklin is in streaming consideration. Jason is fist pumping.
Yeah, I know why, too.
There must be a waiver wire thing that just happened.
Yeah, it's a waiver wire thing of some sort.
I picked up Damian Harris, who was on waivers, and my big fear, because I was the one that dropped him last
week. Yeah, I knew he was there.
I will never, ever, Joik Bell and having him used against me by Andy in the playoffs years ago, I can't live with that happening again. So I had to make sure Damian Harris
Did you spend fab on him?
I did. I dropped five.
So you saved a lot of fab and you spent in the last couple pickups.
Yes.
Kyle and I were talking about, can we finagle a way to get...
That's a new word.
Get Damian Harris. You don't know that word?
Finagle?
Yeah, it was finagle.
Okay, I stand with my statement. Go on.
But I knew Damian Harris was out there because I caught Jason dirty when he dropped Damian.
Oh, I saw it, yeah.
When he dropped Mr. Harris. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, questionable.
Sorry about that, man.
There was not enough players I could drop to make it happen.
A lot of questions about whether he's going to be out there.
My one hope of hopes was... Jason will rectify his mistake and block everyone else from picking up Harris.
And I have done so.
Thank you.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
Last week on Boom, Boom Kicker, I was sold at the Fart Mart for 2 cups. Sold for pure stink, I was locked in the clink with 2 cellmates fully boxed in. I made a plan to strike with fart bags named Andy and Mike to bum rush Chase McLaughlin. Welcome to the story, fellas.
I'm pretty happy about it. I don't know how
you
many...
You want to get worked in there, huh?
Look, how many years have we been left out of the tail that is the Boom Boom Kicker?
The residual checks are going to start showing up, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in this cell with Mr. McLaughlin.
Yeah, we are... The three of us are in the cell, and we're going after McLaughlin together.
Is he in the cell?
Yeah, he's in
or
the cell.
Or is he outside?
He's more like the... he's the warden, if you will.
So we're breaking out?
Oh, yeah, we're breaking out of this
like,
place.
Shawshank style, or what's going
on? Oh, no. This isn't a long play. This isn't...
this will happen next
this
week.
This is... Yeah, this is going to resolve itself real quick.
Now, the good thing is we're in the story, but let's not forget, he did call us fart bags.
And there's more information on that next week.
I've been called worse.
There's more... Well, you've got next week figured out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
He knew where this thing was going to end before the season started.
2 years ago, this.
Oh, you're not making the Lost mistake. You knew the ending from the beginning.
This is his ice and fire.
Thank you, Mike.
Any chance you want to change any of your starts of the week, Mike?
Desperately. But
I like the strategy though, because you can't let anyone down if nobody plays any of your starts.
Yeah,
that's smart.
Fair enough.
I'm so afraid of the Colts, man. I don't like watching them.
Just
for the record, I don't like watching them play football.
I think they're going to be okay. I know. There was debate.
Mike went Davis Mills once, and it worked.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. And he does hate Jeff Saturday, so it says something. He's
There is inner turmoil with this start of the week.
Is that it? We got any other news breaking, Brooksy?
Nothing yet.
Anything from Deucer's Alley? That seems where the fart bags would probably reside, in Deucer's Alley.
Nah. Not over here.
I just rip them over there before I leave.
All right. We are going to let you go, everybody. Take care. Back with just a lot of suspense with the Wheel of Shame tomorrow. Any of us could be getting it. And we'll catch you then, the rest of the matchups.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.